So the work I have to present for you today is part of a series of studies that I've been working on with my colleagues at the Prevention Research Centre in Oakland, in California. I've been based there for the last few years as I finish up my PhD. And we're interested in spatial relationships between retail alcohol sales and motor vehicle crashes, particularly alcohol-related motor vehicle crashes. There's now a substantial body of research that relates retail alcohol sales to other adverse outcomes, assaults, injuries, crimes, child abuse and neglect. But there's actually not many studies that have looked at motor vehicle crashes. That's a problem because we know that in this country around a third of all fatal motor vehicle crashes are alcohol related. So I have no relationships to disclose. So to do a study of this kind, we'd begin with a spatial plane as represented by the grey box on that page. Now, for a spatial analysis, we would take an exposure of interest, so in this case, say a bar, and we would relate that to an outcome of interest, in this case, say for example, an assault. We then partition the spatial plane into geographic units and conduct an analysis of some description using the spatial unit as the unit of analysis. So, for example, in a regression model, with this example, we might find that alcohol outlets bars are spatially related to the incidence of assault. We can use larger or smaller spatial units. The analyses are generally conducted at the units which are conveniently available to researchers. And spatial scale tends to matter. Larger spatial units are more likely to find no relationships due to aggregation bias. The larger the units, the more the relationships get washed out. But turning our attention to motor vehicle collisions, part of the reason why very few studies have looked at this area is because it's actually quite a difficult geographic relationship to study. We have the alcohol outlet, so we'll return in this case again to bars, and a crash, which can occur anywhere. It's not necessarily right near the outlet. It occurs on the roadway network between the bar and the location, the intended destination. So we have the origin and the destination of the alcohol-affected journey and a crash occurring somewhere else. So when we partition our spatial plane into geographic units, we may or may not find that outlets are spatially related to crashes. In smaller units, with this example, we would find that there's no relationship. In larger units, we may or may not find a relationship. In this case, we would find a relationship at what's known as a lagged, within a spatial lag, which is the geographic units which are adjacent to the local unit of interest, to the bar, which is the green circle. Off-premise outlets, liquor stores, present a different question. A person would purchase alcohol at the liquor store, the green outlet, travel along the roadway network to another location, consume the alcohol, and travel to another destination. So the origin and the destination of the alcohol-affected journey are not necessarily near the outlet itself. The risk of crashing increases at some distal location. So when we partition our spatial plane into geographic units, we may or may not find a relationship. Likewise, in larger units, we may or may not find a relationship. So this theoretical approach plays out in the research literature. The very few studies that have been conducted have tended to find relationships between on-premise outlets, bars and restaurants, and the incidence of crashes. But the findings have been mixed for off-premise outlets. Now, most studies have been conducted in very large spatial units, even as large as states and counties, some down to cities and zip codes. Nothing's really got underneath the hood to try and understand what's going on at a much more micro scale, which may explain some of the differences between results in different studies. So for this study, we used data from Melbourne, which is in Australia, it's my hometown. We used data aggregated within statistical area level 1. These are very fine spatial units, very highly resolved. There are about 400 people within each unit. For comparison, the smallest unit, which is typically used in the States, is a census block group, which has around about 1,000 people. So this is an even finer grain than a census block group. The data that we used, the outcome was alcohol-related crashes, as indicated within data provided by Ambulance Victoria, which is the state emergency medical service. It services the whole metropolitan Melbourne area plus the rest of the state of Victoria. And included in those data, it's primarily for use for handing over to medical services, to a hospital, but embedded in those data are the location of the ambulance attendants and also an indicator of the mechanism of injury for traumatic injuries and an indicator of whether the paramedics believed the patient was alcohol affected. So those data were aggregated within these SA1 units, the statistical area level 1 units, of which there were about 9,000 within Melbourne. The other data that we used were the roadway network, which you'll notice sits on the border of the SA1 units. We dealt with that by randomly assigning the roadway to one of the SA1 units. We had some sensitivity analyses around that, which I'll describe later on. And we also had alcohol outlets, classified as bars, restaurants, and off-premise outlets. That classification was according to license type. The model that we specified was a Bayesian conditional order aggressive Poisson model. So the outcome was a count of alcohol-related road crashes. The model expectancy accounted for the underlying crash risk for each of the block groups. Failing to account for that, we might just find that alcohol-related crashes occur where crashes occur, so we need to tease apart the underlying crash risk. For that, we used all crashes within the census block, within the SA1 units. The model has a constant term and a set of independent variables, which I'll explain shortly. We also partitioned the model errors into a conditional order aggressive random effect, which controlled for spatial autocorrelation, and which is the tendency for near units to be more similar than distant units, which violates unit independence, and a non-spatial noise term. The independent variables were the density of alcohol outlets in local and lagged regions, lagged SA1 units, separated by bars, restaurants, and off-premise outlets. We also accounted for demographic characteristics, just in case there was anything that wasn't captured within the underlying crash risk that might be explained by the local population demographics, as well as some of the roadway and land use characteristics as well. And this is what we found. That in local SA1 units, there's no evidence of a relationship between the density of bars and the incidence of alcohol-related crashes. The parameter estimate is an incidence rate ratio, and the Bayesian procedure produces a 95% credible interval. If the credible interval includes the null value, in this instance 1, then that provides very little evidence of an association. When we move to the lagged density of bars, though, we saw a positive association. So an increase of 10 outlets per square kilometre was related to a 38% increase in the risk of alcohol-related crashes relative to the underlying crash risk. There was no relationship for restaurants, but also for off-premise outlets, the effects were reversed. In areas with greater density of off-premise outlets in both local and lagged areas, there was a decreased risk of alcohol-related crashes. So what does that mean, going back to our conceptual model? We expected that crashes related to alcohol consumption in a bar would occur somewhere on the roadway network between the bar and a destination. Here we see we observed increased crash risks in the lagged areas around the bars, but no effect in the bar in the SA1 unit in which the bar was located. For off-premise outlets, we found the opposite. Remember, we expected that the increased crash risks would be between the origin and the destination of the alcohol-affected journey, which is at some distal location relative to the outlet. We found decreased risks, represented by the blue, in both the local and lagged areas. Now, that's surprising, but not unexpected, given our understanding of where increased crash risks may occur. So this would tend to suggest that greater outlet density, greater bar density in particular, is related to increased crash risk. What we can't say is what the story is for off-premise outlets. It certainly doesn't mean that off-premise outlets are in some way protective against alcohol-related crashes. What it might suggest is that an origin-destination approach might be more appropriate rather than a spatial analysis in which a spatial plane is partitioned into units, as we've done here. There's a couple of limitations to note with the design of this study. The first is that the location of the roadways, the use of the roadways as the boundaries for the SA1 units is problematic. We randomly, as I said, assigned the roadway units to the SA1 units. We also conducted a sensitivity analysis in which we assigned the roadway unit to both of the SA1 units in which it bordered. Results were substantively similar, so it gives us some confidence. But perhaps a better approach may be to use the roadway segments as the units of analyses, and that's done quite frequently in the transportation literature. It's a direction we'd like to take this work. The other limitation is that the ambulance, the paramedics may not accurately capture a person being alcohol affected. That's more likely to be a valid measure than perhaps a non-medically trained police officer who only spends a few minutes with a person. Paramedics spend half an hour or so. But still, there may be some error there. This analysis relies on there being no spatial structure to that error. So unless there's some reason why areas with more alcohol outlets might be more likely to code incorrectly, then we would assume that error just induces noise into the analysis. So to conclude, bar density is related to alcohol crashes in surrounding areas. This provides some evidence that, like the relationships with assaults, child abuse and neglect, other areas for which there's substantial evidence that reducing bar densities may reduce the incidence of problems. This provides some evidence to that effect, although further research is clearly needed. This is just a cross-sectional study. The other thing to bear in mind, these are very small effect sizes. The independent variable, we scaled to 10, an increase of 10 bars per square kilometre, which is an enormous increase beyond all plausibility. By linearly interpolating that result, a 10% increase in bar density is actually only a 0.3% increase. So what that suggests is that increased risk is dispersed right across the spatial plane, which gets to the point that I made earlier, that this is a difficult spatial problem to tackle. And finally, origin-destination models may be a more appropriate approach, particularly for examining those relationships for off-premise outlets. Thank you very much.